So I got assigned this topic about expert witnesses because when we were talking about this at the Planning Committee, we were talking about how so many talks devolve into very narrow discussions of benzene toxicology or asbestos litigation with little accessibility or usefulness to most of our everyday practice. And so I said, it's like we need somebody who's super lazy, who has ADD, and who's not afraid to sort of make gross generalizations. And somehow that was considered me volunteering. So I'm here to put my short attention span to work for you about how the recent expert witnesses play out. It's an update topic. With no grand theories, but specifically what you look at if you have a case where you're attacking an expert or you're trying to support an expert. And so if you want a more scholarly approach, right, the three best resources are, of course, Justice Harvey Brown and Melissa Davis's 2014 reboot of their article from 15 years ago, Eight Gates for Expert Witnesses 15 Years Later, chronicles all the recent cases. There's a South Texas Law Review article by David Johnson that focuses more on appellate preservation and objection issues. It's 2010, a little older, but still very good. And, of course, the good Wellborn and Charlotte treatise. Check out their pocket parts of book sizes that are devoted to 702, and they track all the recent cases. I want to start with the Texas cases before we get to some federal ones, and of course, we all know the drill. In Robinson and Havner, the Texas Supreme Court laid down the six factors that are flexible, non-exhaustive, that we're all supposed to use, and these factors, of course, were culled from the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Daubert, but as we all know, Daubert is an admissibility decision.